At this time, if you have your Bibles, as a junior church dismissed in the head next door, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter number 4. And so the book of this morning, we were in Philippians, and so Philippians, we mentioned, is one of the epistles that Paul wrote while he was in bondage. And so he called it the prison epistle. And so today, this morning, we're going to look at the next prison epistle, which is the book of Ephesians. And we're not going to go through the whole chapter, to tell you the truth. And so, but I encourage you, if you get the chance, to read Ephesians chapter number 4, the whole thing entirely, and the whole book, and you'll find it a blessing. And so Ephesians chapter number 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 30, verse number 30. Let's start reading at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, and then we'll pray, and then we're going to touch on some of these verses. And so the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice." In verse number 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." And as you can see, the title of the message today is "As God, for Christ's sake." Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father God, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm thankful to be alive and to be in your house. I'm thankful, Lord, for Jesus, who, as the word says, came on this earth and died for our sins. And Lord, because of that, and because I believe, I'm saved. As Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Father, I remember being confused, but knowing Romans 10:9-10 gave me comfort. Because if we confess that we believe that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again, if we believe in our heart, we are saved. Father, I pray, may that message be clear. Lord, that you would rebuke Satan from coming in this room, from taking the word, from falling into our hearts. Help us to have our hearts open. Help us not to be like Pharaoh, Lord, who would harden his heart. But may our hearts be softened, willing to hear. May we not get offended, but may we accept your word. Father, that you would speak, use me, that you would work a mighty work, Father, with your word, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to every single person, including me. And Father, and though I've gotten the chance to read multiple times, to listen multiple times, Father, help me to hear what you're saying today. Help us all to hear. As your word says, those that has hear, let them hear what the Spirit says. And may the church respond accordingly, and that we would apply this word to our life. And Father, as we exit out these doors, that we would be drawing nigh to you, and that we would be a better Christian, that we would be growing more and walking out ready to serve you, ready to love you more and more. Help us to apply what your word says today. Bless us, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need to hear from you, God. Every time we are in your house and your book is open, God, we need to hear. Help us. We need your help. Help us not to get distracted. Help us not to get tired. Help us, Lord, to hear. For us in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. It's pretty a good book. And I've noticed twice in this chapter number 4, it uses the term walking. In verse number 1, it says, walk in the vocation, the calling that God has called us. In verse number 17, it goes, it says, walk not as other Gentiles, as the Gentiles walk. And he wants to encourage us in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul. He said, hey, I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles. And when he's saying the Gentiles, he's really trying to say, hey, don't walk like the world. Don't be like the world. He says, hey, I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles, but I want you to do this instead. And so this book is really written to believers, and he's trying to encourage believers. And I hope everyone in here knows the Lord as your Savior. Because some people like to trust. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. God says, hey, it's not of works. No one can come to God by working, by trying to be good, by trying to say, hey, I'm going to give money in the offering. I'm going to go and try to help out in this yard sale, and you know, I'm going to set up these tables. That's not going to get you into heaven. The Bible says it is through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's plain and simple. So many times people, and it's really Satan trying to muddy up the water, trying to confuse people, trying to make people think that, hey, if I say a prayer, I'm going to be saved. And the Bible says this in James, the devils believe in God and they tremble. And guess what? The devils aren't going to be in heaven. It's about trusting and believing. And John 3:16 is a famous verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That passage says, if you believe in the Son, that's Jesus, you'll have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? Forever. 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 We see things that are born and that they die. Different creatures, friends, families that pass away. But guess what? God says that, hey, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have everlasting life. Everlasting. Not that which we see that in when we live in the world of time, the realm of time, and we see things that has to die, that has to pass away, 5, 10, 15. He says forever. Yesterday morning I was speaking to the teens on Luke chapter 16 about hell and how the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man, when he woke up, he raised his eyes in hell, and guess what? He was there forever. 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 And no one has to go to hell if they will believe in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if you believe in him, if you trust in him, he promised to give you eternal life, life forever. He says, whosoever shall call. And God's not going to be like, no, 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 I don't want you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He'll accept you. Doesn't matter who you are. Hey, you know Moses? Moses killed the man. Yet God accepted him. You know King David? Hey, he committed adultery and then had that man killed. First degree murder. He planned it out. And yet God accepted him. I can go on and on. And you know why these people were accepted? Because of the blood of Jesus. Did you hear all the songs we sing? The power in the blood? We would be like, oh, you know, there's no way that person, and yet the blood of Jesus can. The blood of Jesus has power. It's not weak. It's not small. It has power. Strong. The power of Jesus that it can save. A man, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this epistle, who was persecuting Christians, and people were afraid of him. When he was called Saul, they were afraid of him. They feared him. And then when he got saved, you know why? Because he believed in Jesus. When Jesus was calling him, he then trusted him in the power of the blood. And he was washed. And his sins were paid. And so, Christians, we understand this. But those, if you have not believed in Jesus, you're not a Christian. And I want to encourage you to call upon his name if you haven't. And so we continue on in Ephesians chapter number 4. In verse 22, as Paul is encouraging Christians, he's saying that ye put off the concerning former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He goes on and talks about, hey, we need to put away the old man. I saw, you know, this illustration online, and I thought it was good. It's like taking out, you know, your trash. You grab that trash and, you know, you put all that stuff, you know, I usually have to empty out the trash maybe two or three times out of in our kitchen. Because, you know, all the foods, the plates that get in there, you know, all the different things, and it gets packed, empty it out sometimes, dirty diapers, woo! You know, but I have to throw it out. But can you imagine if a person say, oh, I'm going to take this trash and I'm going to carry it around with me everywhere I go. Oh, I'm going to work. Here's my trash with me. Boom. All right, time to go. Go home, get in the car, go to Publix, carrying the trash with me, put it in the shopping cart. And people are walking like, what are you doing? Oh, get rid of that. And you're just carrying around that trash. Then you bring the trash back home and you put it on the dinner table. Time to eat some meat. And you got that trash. Carrying around that trash, and that trash stinks. Certainly no one does that in here. What you do is you take out that trash and you put it in your trash can and then you put it out so that they can get carried away. Because you don't want that trash there. That filth. And here, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, he's saying putting off concerning the former things. And then in verse 24, he says, and put on the new man. It's like your dirty clothes that you throwing away, that which is dirty, that which has gotten messed up, rips, tears, and you buy new clothes and you put it on. He's saying put on the new man. And so, as he's saying put on the new man, look at, and he's talking about renewing your mind in verse 23, but looking at verse 25, it says this, wherefore put away lying. And when you put away lying, he says, speak truth. Speak truth. Don't tell a lie. Put away lying. Guess what? Lying is trash. It says put that away. As he continue on, he says, you know, put away lying. And he continue on saying this, that wherefore put away lying, every man speak the truth, for we are members of another. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. So don't harbor wrath. He says, don't harbor wrath, a heated outburst of rage, of passion, of anger. He says, don't harbor that. Put it in the trash. Put that away. In verse number 27, he says, neither give place unto the devil. Hey, don't give a place for the devil to rest, to sit right next to you, to be, just like when Jesus said, hey, get thee behind me, Satan, when he told that to Peter. You don't give place for the devil. Don't let him have a resting place. Don't let him have a chance. And continuing on, it says, let him that stole steal no more. It says, hey, don't steal, but instead, let him labor. You don't steal, you don't take from someone else, but instead, work for it. Work hard. He couldn't continue on. In verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He says, hey, don't go around saying nasty, filthy words. He's saying that, hey, don't go around cussing. Don't go around calling people bad names. Making fun of people. He says, hey, put that away. Put it in the trash can. Throw it out. Put that away. But it says instead, he says, which we are to use our mouth to edify and to minister grace unto the hearers. And so he's saying, hey, put these off, put these away. But what I really want to hark on is what we read earlier when we began. It was verse 30. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, people can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That you can grieve him and have less of the Spirit in using you to empower you. Because we need God's Spirit. We need him to go on and to do God's work. We can't do it. Do you remember what happened with Samson? When he would have the Holy Spirit that would come on him, because he was had the Nazarite vow, and he would do great things. But it came to a point where the Holy Spirit left him. And what happened? That man was, Samson was strong, powerful, and people put a whooping on him. And then they plucked out his eyes. And that happened. He wasn't faithful with God. In a sense, he grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And when that happened, his enemies came and got him. We need the Holy Spirit of God, folks. We need God's Spirit to work in us, to empower us, to move us. And if you grieve the Holy Spirit while he's speaking to you, if you say, I don't want to listen, God. No, God, I'm going to turn that down. No. And you start to grieve him. You're going to have issues, Christian. You're going to have problems. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, hey, let that be put away. Malice, that which you want to have evil intent. He's saying, let all bitterness be put away. The wrath, the clamor, and evil speaking. That should not be name of us. He says this, that we are to put this away. That bitterness. You let that get into your heart, and it begins to make you have that attitude of resentment. And you're like, oh, I can't stand her. Always think she come here and she's perfect. Or you might be like, man, who is he to tell me what to do? He thinks he's my boss. And you begin to have this attitude. Oh, how can he treat me like this? That bitterness, having that resentment. And it's like, oh, you ever had something bitter? There's some tea that is bitter that you may. There's some vegetables I've had that is, ugh, man, that's bitter. And what you do is you immediately begin to, ugh, just some people, I've seen my kids do it where they start spitting it out. Because it's gross. It's bitter. They love things that are sweet. Sweet. I saw my son earlier while we were practicing, the Child of the King. He grabbed one of my daughter's ring pop and was putting that in his mouth. He likes that. I mean, it was the other day, me and my wife were sitting down having a meeting, and my son grabbed something that he should not grab, and he put his tongue in, and my wife immediately tried to get that away from him and try to tap his finger and say, no, don't put that. But he already knew once his tongue put it. It's like, ah, bitter. And God said, hey, put this away. That bitterness, that clamor, you got to be loud and boisterous. People got to see a scene. Don't have that be part of it. And we as Christians shouldn't act like this. But we need to throw away that garbage. We need to put that away. Because you know what? That bitterness begins to affect things that are around us. It begins to affect marriages, family relationships, friendships, prayer life, our worship, bitterness. It says, put away all bitterness, put away. Stop carrying that around. And so the Bible says this. We are to put this away in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. God says, hey, because you saw in verse 31, instead of being bitter, instead of being having that wrath, that anger, being mad, and I should stop to say here, is it a sin to be angry? The Bible tells us, early, if you look at verse 27, Ephesians 4:27, it says this, verse 26, excuse me, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, there are times, hey, you can be angry, but when that anger starts to make you do things that someone looks and say, hey, is that a Christian? That person say they're a Christian? And they're acting like this? Man, they are saying those filthy words? That's how they are acting? They're letting themselves be controlled by emotions and saying, letting the Holy Spirit move in them? That's what they're doing? And God says, hey, don't let that be a bride. And you know, Jesus Christ at times, he was upset. When he walked in the temple, he saw how people were making a mockery of the house of God. And Jesus didn't say, oh, that's okay. You guys can stop doing what you're doing right. No, the Bible says that he grabbed cords of whips and he went in and said, what? And started chasing them out. And he said, hey, you're not going to make a mockery out of my house. That's what the Bible says. And so Jesus said, hey, you can be angry. But don't let the wrath go down upon you that you lose control and you're like some kind of wild animal, some kind of beast. No. It says, let that be aside. Put that away. And it says, instead, be kind one to another. Hey, are you kind to one another? Someone that you see? You may be like, man, that person looks weird. Hey, are you kind to them? Do you love them? Do you see them as a soul? The Bible says, be tender-hearted, feeling their emotion. You know, there are times that Jesus, while he was out and preaching to the multitude, that he would stop and he said that he was moved with compassion. That this crowd, this multitude, they've been with me for so long. They haven't worried about getting something to eat. And they're hungry. Yet they want to hear God's word. They want to hear the teaching. He was moved with compassion. And at this point, he began and he said, hey, he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he began to feed the 5,000, the multitude. And many people, and not only once, he did this twice. And he fed them. He was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved. He feels our pain. He cares for you. Whatever you may be going through, the hurt, when you think that, oh, brother so-and-so doesn't care, Jesus cares. When you're like, no man cares for my soul, Jesus cares for your soul. Jesus loved you so much and he proved it. Hey, the nail prints in his hand, proof. The side, proof. You look down at his ankle, proof. He proved it on the cross. He loves you, my friend. He loves you, brothers and sisters. He says, hey, he's encouraged us. Paul says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And then listen to the next part, forgiving one another. Forgiving. It's the hardest thing to do. And I'll say this, because many different people, you will face different situations. You'll face someone that, hey, someone that wasn't faithful and that cheated on you. Yet the Bible says you got to forgive them. Someone might have hurt you. The Bible says you need to forgive them. It could have been someone that was molested. Hey, the Bible says you need to forgive them. It could have been someone that had taken something from you, taken your money, or taken a loved one. And the Bible says to forgive them. To forgive them. It's the hardest thing to do. Because when someone does something and it hurts you, you're like, oh, I gotta forgive them? Them? They've hurt me! They don't care about me. Look what they did. And the Bible says, forgive them. Forgive them. Because listen to what it says as it continues on. It says this, to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Stop and think about that. God, for Christ's sake. You know what Jesus did? Do you understand what he did? How he lived on this earth? Emmanuel, God with us. Never did anything wrong. Never said anything wrong. He was always right 100%. Going around, taking care, feeding those he could. Meeting those in the ministry, he would heal those. Doing good. And yet, it came to a point where they took him. They beat upon him. Took his beard and started to pull on him. Smoting him. Put the crown of thorns on his head. He went through a lot, and he did it for us all. And he didn't have to, but he did. A man who did no wrong, and yet who knew no sin, became sin for us and took it upon him. Anything that you have thought bad, God has taken that. Any lie that you told, anything that you stole, anytime you disobeyed your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your grandma, anyone that you've done wrong to, he's taken that all. Anyone that you might have hurt, he's taken that. Any life that you have done, that you would say, God would not love me, God would not care for me. He says, no, he's taken that. The idolatry, the fornication, the murder, no matter what, he's taken it all. And he's placed it upon him. for Christ's sake. And as he was on that cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was willing to say, Father, forgive them. He's forgiven you. So I have to stop and ask, are we better than Christ? Are we? I'm not. If you ever hear someone that, hey, I'm perfect, I'm better than Jesus, we're not. We are not. We've done wrong. And yet, how come when someone, and you know what, you're going to be hurt? Yes. They're going to make you mad? Yes. When they offend you? Yes. And all of a sudden, we're like, I can't forgive them. You know, it's happened quite a few times in this church. You know, some of you probably would have never met, but while I've been here for a while, I've seen different families when they have issues and they begin to clash. And they're saved. They give their testimony. They say they believe in Jesus. But they start to have conflict and they start to bicker and have issue and begin to harbor that bitterness. For, could be different reasons. Could be, you know, the carpet of the church. Oh, the church should be this. It could be, hey, they sit there. Hey, they always have to have the fan on right here. And you begin to have some issue. You know, I'm making up some things. I know one time, you know, a while ago, where someone got offended because of a uniform. Because it was asked that, hey, can people dress up like this when they're doing a certain thing? And they got offended. People get offended for different reasons. And it can easily happen. You get offended at the preacher. I don't even know. Maybe I offended someone right now. And you might be like, who is he to say? And by the way, I'm a nobody. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. All I can do is go talk to my wife. And she will testify. I may be like, I didn't really do that, did I? All of a sudden, I have amnesia. Huh? I did what? You know, I'm not perfect, guys. That's what I'm letting you know. We all can offend one another. But it is silly. And I'm just calling a spade, as they say. To get offended off of because someone said something that, you know, and they did something, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm not going to church. And I'm telling you, I've seen people leave because they can't forgive that brother or so, that brother or sister. They leave the church and they say, you know, I'm going to go find another church. Then when they go to another church and they get offended at something there, oh, I'm not going to church at all. When God commands us, hey, we ought to go. Hey, brothers and sisters, when's the time to leave a church? There is a time. If God calls you to go somewhere else, yes, listen to God. If God calls me to go somewhere else, I need to listen to him. Because if I don't, I'm going to be in sin. And that's not going to help anyone. If God calls you, yes, go. If he calls you, but if a church also is in doctrinal error, and the pastor is preaching all of a sudden and say, hey, you can't be saved by Christ. You have to do such and such. Yeah, you should leave that church. Because they're not staying in the word of God. But so many times people leave the church because, oh, I'm offended at brother so-and-so. I'm not pointing at anyone here. I'm just saying, hey, you know, I'm pointing that way. Oh, I'm sorry, that's your seat. I'll point this way. This person does this, such and such. They did that to me. You're like, I'm not going to go. And if you read Matthew chapter 18, in the book of Matthew 18, where it gives us this parable, and I'm not going to go through it all, but about forgiveness. And Jesus asked this question, how many times, you know, man should forgive? Someone said seven, you know, seven times. And Jesus Christ said 70 times seven. Man, for someone to wrong you 490 times is crazy. But Jesus throw that number out to tell you, hey, when someone does wrong to you, you need to still forgive them. And he gives this parable, which I'm going to, you know, short out. I encourage you to read it when you get a chance in Matthew chapter 18. But he says this. There was a man that owed a guy maybe about $1,000. I'm making it, you know, in our day. He owed a guy $1,000. And that guy, you know, the king, he owed the king $1,000. And the king was like, what? He need to pay. Cast him into jail. And that guy started saying, oh, please. We'll call him Jeff. Oh, please, king. Please, king. Oh, I shouldn't use the word Jeff. I know so many Jeffs here. Jeff might be, there's a Jeff out there that might be watching. I'm not talking about you, Jeffs. But we're going to use Jeff now since I said it. Oh, please, forgive me. Don't forgive me. Oh, a thousand, please don't put me in jail. And the king was like, okay. Jeff, I'll forgive you. All right, that 1,000, forget about it. You're clean. You don't owe me no more. And then Jeff goes out there and he sees Bob. And he says, Bob, you owe me $100. Give it up. Bob, I'm going to put you in jail. And he begins to bring Bob to jail. And Bob begins to say, oh, please, have mercy. Give me some time. I can make up the money. I can pay you that $100. And Jeff's like, no way, Bob. You didn't give it to me. Off you go. And he throws him in jail. And when the king hears that, he's like, what? You owe me $1,000. Bob owed you $100, and you cast him in jail? He said, hey, put Jeff in jail, and he's going to learn that lesson. And guys, Jesus gives that parable to basically say, hey, we may offend one another. And he's saying that offense could be $100, could be $75, could be $35, could be $200. We offend different people, and yet we offended Christ way more. Way more. And yet, the Bible says that he forgave us for Christ's sake. He forgave us. Husband, will you forgive your wife? Or wife, will you forgive your husband? Hey, will you forgive that person that wronged you? You're like, man, that person was a dirty dog. But if you start to do that, remember how I was saying that trash, you take it everywhere you go? You're carrying that trash with you. You're carrying that bitterness with you. You're carrying that wrath with you, that anger. And pee you, it stinks. And it's affecting you. And you're not even realizing it. And you're just carrying it wherever you go. Hey, throw it away. Put it where it belongs. Throw it in the garbage. And be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted and do this. It's hard, but forgive them. Forgive them. I have to forgive them even though they killed someone I love? Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Don't hold that in your heart. Whoever might have stole something from you, they took something from you. Hey, congregation, today, forgive them. Forgive them. Come to the Lord and say, God, I've been holding this in my heart. Lord, please forgive me. And today, I want to let that go, and I want to forgive that person. You've been fighting with some brother or sister for a long time. And maybe it's time to call and say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I love you. And I want to work on building this relationship back again. You know, they may have been wrong, but you should forgive them. You don't have to wait for them. The Bible says, hey, forgive them when they come to you first. I don't see it says that, be ye kind and tenderhearted, and when they come to you, then you forgive one. I don't see that in that passage. It says, be ye kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you notice the verse 31, it says, put this away, do this instead. Don't be angry. Don't hold that bitterness. Whatever brother, sister, so-and-so did, forgive them. Whatever offense you may have, forgive them. When it comes, you're going to be offended. You're going to be. Someone's going to do something that you're not going to like. But if you hold it, that trash is with you, going with you wherever you go. P.U., it stinks, and it's affecting you, and you don't even know. Throw it away. Throw it away. Forgive. Congregation is a tough thing. And people may face different situations. You know, think about telling the story about David earlier. There had to come a time where Bathsheba had to forgive him as well. You know, it had to come a time other people around him had to forgive him. Because he didn't do that, which was right. And later on, he would write that psalm, and he would ask God for forgiveness. And I bring that up because he did something horrible. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is David. I love to read his life. But that part of his life is ugly. And that's the one thing about the Bible. If we were writing the Bible, we wouldn't put that in. Well, David did that. Oh, no, we want him to look good. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. We got to take that out. No, God says, hey, he did this. It was wrong. And he paid for it dearly. Lost his son. And the thing is this, he came and asked for forgiveness. And someone may do something similar to you. And the Bible says you are to be tenderhearted. You ought to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. Will you forgive that person? Hey, they may have crossed the line, and they should have, and they know they shouldn't, but they did it anyway. But the Bible says, forgive them. I hope this message is loud and clear. What Ephesians 4 is saying, you can't hold on to that. He says, be nice. Don't simply say, try harder to get along. He says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Before you leave today, maybe there's a name that God has already placed in your mind. Maybe there's offense that you keep bringing up. Maybe there's bitterness that has been sitting in your heart for weeks, months, or even years. God says, put it away. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all speaking, let the malice go and replace it. Replace it with bitterness, with kindness. Replace hardness with a tender heart. Replace resentment with forgiveness. Why? Because when you were guilty, God forgave you. We could not pay our debt. We could not, but God did. Jesus did, and he forgave it. And we did not deserve mercy, but God showed mercy. He did it for Christ's sake. So when that brother makes that sly remark, when that sister gets under your skin, when someone fails you, when someone disappoints you, or when somebody says something that hurts you, before you hold it onto it, remember Calvary. Remember what Christ has forgiven you. And ask yourself, if God for Christ's sake has forgiven me, I also can forgive them. May God help us to walk worthy of the vocation he has called us, and not only to put off the old man, But to live every day showing others the same kindness, compassion, and forgiveness that God has shown towards us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, as we come before you, Lord, we are all sinners. We've all done wrong. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one in here is perfect. And so many times, we forget that. We forget it. We let the flesh take over, and we begin to resent a brother or sister in Christ. So many times people forget this, and they fight with one another. Sometimes they leave. But the question is, what are they going to do when they get to heaven? Well, we obviously know when we get to heaven, we'll be perfect. But we need to truly understand that we are a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've experienced a time where we've had issues with our own parents, our own the caregiver, those who love us. When we were younger. And Lord, many times we experience so many things. And when we think of that person, we say, oh, I can't forgive them. Sometimes people will say, I can never forgive them for what they've done. And at that point, we need to stop and remember who we are. And we are sinners. We do not deserve to stand in front of a holy God. As Isaiah noticed, he said, woe is me. Father, that's how we should be reacting. Because our sin is filthy. But praise God, Lord, you paid it all. You've forgiven us all of our sin. And has separated as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, we too need to forgive. We need to be able to be like Christ and to forgive one another. That person that said that thing, that person that did that thing, we need to forgive them. Father, it's not like all of a sudden that you don't see the pain that an individual might be going through. You do. And Father, there is justice. You have told us that we are to love our enemies. That we are to be kind to them. And Lord, that you'll do the rest. You'll take care of the rest. But what we need to do as the first step is, Lord, we need to seek you and ask for your help and ask, Lord, that we would be able to forgive that person that's in our mind. That we wouldn't hold that fight with our spouse, with our friend, our cousin, our uncle, that we wouldn't harbor that. But Lord, as I mentioned earlier, that we wouldn't carry that trash, but that we would put it away. At this time, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, help us to be sincere and true with ourselves. And if we have not been following this, following your word in Ephesians chapter 4, Lord, that today, we would make the choice and that we would apply this to our lives and that we would take action. We wouldn't only just say it, but Lord, that we would go and do. That we would be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as for Christ's sake, as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. We love you. We come before you asking that you would, Holy Spirit, talk to us, guide us, and help us to humble ourselves. And as we walk out later on in a couple of minutes, Father, when the offense comes, that we will do better, that we will work when someone cuts us off, that we will work, and ask, Lord, that you would help us not to carry that trash, but that we be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. If you, everyone would please stand with your head bowed, eyes closed. Shortly, we're going to come. We're coming to our invitation. Brother Dotson's going to come and he's going to lead us in this hymn of invitation. If you need to come and come to the altar and pray to God, come. I'll be down up front if you want to speak to me. If you like me to pray, I can pray with you. The important thing is you need to make the choice. You need to make the decision. Hey, you don't know Jesus as your Savior? If you're not sure, come. Don't miss this opportunity. If you hear God tugging on your heart, come. Humble yourselves. We need you today. Lord, bless this time as invitation, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.